I forgot to mention that you just make your check out to Great Plains Community Church, but down in the memo, just put Bruce or Special Need, and that'll let us know what you're doing. And then I guess Sean Martin over here, well, he's just coming over here. He just won district champion. And next week he's going to try to take state. He's got one match left. So, pretty good. Well, we're still in our series called 2020 Success. And we've been looking at, of course, the Ten Commandments. We've looked at a number of those. And today we're going to look at how to be respected by others. How to be respected by others. Kind of interesting. Really, of all of the commandments that the Lord gave us, it may very well be that this is the most important one. Because it has to do how we treat other people. It has to do with honesty in our conversations about other people. Someone has observed that if you wish to know what kind of water is in the cistern, you have to pump the handle. Someone else says, well, if you want to know what's in the heart of man, just get them talking, and it'll let you know what's in the very heart of every individual. An article written by Doug Mishrow gives the great American lives. I may have said these before somewhere along the line. You know, the lies like the check is in the mail. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Your luggage isn't lost, it's just misplaced. Well, that's not true. My son-in-law, who travels a lot, lost his luggage and they didn't find it. It's lost. This hurts me more than it does you. I'm from the federal government and I'm here to help you. Honesty. Dr. Keeler, the inventor of the lie detector, surveyed 25,000 people when he was perfecting his instrument, and he said that he came to the conclusion that most people are dishonest. Let's read this command. Maybe that's why the Lord gave us this command. Exodus 20:16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Proverbs 17:7. Respected people do not tell lies. You see, the fact is, it's easy to break this commandment. How old were you when you told your first lie? Probably can't remember. You might have been a baby or a small child. It's like the little boy who told a lie and his mother set him down on his lap and he said, now son, you can't tell lies. She said, liars don't go to heaven. Well, the little boy said, Mom, have you ever told a lie? Well, yes. What about Dad? Has he ever told a lie? Well, yes, he probably has. Well, said the boy, the only people that are going to be in heaven is God and George Washington. Well, anyway, the basis of our message is to tell the truth, to keep from ruining the reputation of other people. During World War II, they had a saying in the Navy, loose lips sink ships. Well, loose lips sink lives, ruins people's character, and destroys churches. So how do we gain respect? Well, we gain respect by not giving a false witness. Let's look at some ways the Bible says we can give false testimony about other people. Number one, by gossip. By gossip. Have you noticed as we've got through the Ten Commandments how often gossip comes up? It is a problem. And it comes up because it is concerned about the reputation of other people. Now, what's the definition of gossip? Someone said it's something you like about someone you don't. I don't know. Basically, gossip is simply repeating private information when you're not part of the problem or part of the solution. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 22. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Basically, he's saying that people can love to gossip, but it becomes very destructive in life. It's like the preacher who got up and preached on gossip, and then he closed with the hymn, "I love to tell the story." You get it? Come on, are we here? There are a lot of varieties in gossiping, like false sympathy. You start by saying, "Isn't it too bad about so-and-so? It's so sad, it really breaks my heart," and then on and on we go. Another way is by asking questions. "Have you heard about, is it true about so-and-so?" Then there is Christian gossip. We do that by sharing prayer requests for others. Someone has said, we do better by sharing our own needs than some of those prayer requests in some circles that don't keep it private. Randall Denny, a pastor from years gone by in the Church of the Nazarene that I knew, he wrote a book. And in that book, he told about a lady who was gossiping, spreading scandal, gossip everywhere. Feeling a deep sense of guilt one day, she went to see the priest and told the priest about her deed. The priest prescribed a strange penance. He gave the lady a ripe thistle whose seeds were ready to fly at the slightest touch. And the priest ordered the lady go through the streets of the village, scattering those seeds everywhere she went. When she got through, she came back to the priest, and he said, "Now," he said, "what I want you to do is go back and pick up every one of those seeds that you scattered throughout the village." Well, she said, "There is no way that I can do that. There's too many. They're all over." And then the priest explained how it would be even more impossible to gather up and destroy all the evil reports that she had spread. Don't gossip. It's a wrong way to win the respect of others. A second way to give false testimony is by slander. Here's a definition of slander: making false accusations to discredit someone else. James chapter 4 and verse 11. "Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law." There is only one lawgiver, only one judge. That's God. The Bible says we have no right to judge someone else. Only God, the lawgiver, is able to judge. Don't discredit others. We can do that in such subtle ways. You know that, don't you? Like, you can ruin someone's reputation with one word. "Well, he's a great guy. She's a wonderful lady, but you just ruined their character." One word. Death and power are in the tongue. It's so true. You can slander in silence. Someone asks a question and you don't answer. Have you heard someone say like this, "Well, I just better not say anything. I just better not say anything." Well, you don't need to. You already said it. Proverbs 10:18 says, to slander is to be a fool. A third avenue of false testimony is flattery. Now, flattery is nothing more than insincere praise. Proverbs 26:28. Flattery is a form of hatred and wounds cruelly. In the Hebrew, the word flattery means to speak with a smooth tongue. A smooth tongue. Flatterers are smooth talkers. They say things they don't mean in order to manipulate other people around them. Smooth talkers. Look at Proverbs 29:5. Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. Flattery will not win the respect of other people. Secondly, this morning, we want to take a look at how we can. What are some things that we can do to actually win the respect of other people as a Christian in our society? The place where we live and work, how can we do that? So let's look at some ways. First of all, we need to examine our heart. We need to examine our heart. Get a checkup, a spiritual checkup. Get to the root of the problem. Why do we lie? We tend to be dishonest many times with each other. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 these words, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We should circle the word deceitful. Deceitful. Man seems to have a deceitful heart if it hasn't been mastered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at what's in the heart of man that causes him to be dishonest or motivates him to lie. First, I think there is fear. We're afraid of what might happen if we tell the truth. Truth often has consequences. And then, how many of you said, I can't. I can't do that. I can't help you out. I can't serve in the church. But the truth is, we won't. We won't. It's often not that we can't. It's that we won't. Adam and Eve were the first to lie in the Garden of Eden. And they said, out of fear, they tried to cover things up. We're prone to say, honestly, officer, I didn't see that red light. Well, I thought I stopped at that stop sign. I had my kids with me. They weren't very old, but their eyes got really big when the state patrol rolled up beside me. I thought I stopped at that stop sign. No, he said, you rolled through. Was I really going that fast on my way to Oklahoma City a few years ago, officer? Secondly, dishonesty can come out of anger. When we're upset, we want to get even. We retaliate. We become revenge-oriented. We say something like, I'll show you. Here's what I can do. I can begin to deliver some stories about you so that you won't look quite so good. A third reason has to do with pride. When we want to make ourselves look better, we want to impress people or put ourselves in a better position. That's why someone has said that resumes are the height of creativity. Number four is selfishness. We're tempted to be dishonest if we can profit from it. We do it for our own benefit. Now, that are some of the reasons why we need sometimes to get to the root of our problem. The beginning of honesty is the confession of our dishonesty in the heart. The only way that God can change us is to be honest and confess our dishonesty so that His grace and God the Holy Spirit can begin to work a miracle deep within our hearts. A second way to become honest is to think about honest things. We need to remember that whatever goes into the mind eventually comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If we think about honest things, that becomes our model for life. If you dwell on deceitful things, like perhaps things we see on TV or read in books or hear in conversations, eventually that's what's going to come out. Because that becomes our model in life. Number three, you need to refuse to give or receive gossip. If you want to be respected by others, don't give and don't receive gossip. Look at Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays a confidant, but a trustworthy man keeps his secret. When you're tempted to say something about someone, ask yourself this question. Am I willing to sponsor this story? Am I willing to sign my name to this story? If we're not willing to put something in writing and sign our name, maybe we shouldn't say anything. Maybe we shouldn't share it with others. If you listen, you're also sponsoring it. When I was studying for the ministry, I had a friend that came to me and said, I'm just sure that so-and-so is doing something wrong. So, the next school day, he went in to see one of the professors. And he said, I want to report what so-and-so, I'm pretty sure, is doing. And the professor said, okay, before you tell me the name, I want you to write your story down on a piece of paper, and I want you to sign it. You want to know what happened? He left. He didn't write it down. He didn't sign it. You see, we say, well, off the record. Well, nothing is ever off the record. We'll eventually be judged by what we say. And then also we should refuse to receive. Don't let people go on and on in your presence. Say something like this. Have you checked the source of that story? You know what happens? Usually that's the end. Usually that's the end right there. It's amazing how quickly people back off when you ask them if they have checked the source. No one verifies a rumor. No one verifies a rumor. The law says that if you accept stolen goods, you're as guilty in receiving them as if you stole them. The same is true with gossip. Let me tell you something that we ought to remember, all of us, myself included. The person that gossips to you will also gossip about you. The person that gossips to you will also gossip about you. Count on it. Fourthly, if you want to be honest, keep your promises. Psalm 15. He who keeps his oath, even when it hurts, shall never be shaken. The mark of integrity is someone who keeps his word. Proverbs 25:14. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. It's easy to talk about, but respected people keep their promises. Number five, if we want to be respected by others, be an encourager. Be an encourager. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." In other words, share things that build other people up. Build people at school, build people at work, build people in the home. Focus on that. Alan Redpath, who was years and years ago, before many of you were probably born, 1956. Anyway, he wrote a lot of books. He was a great preacher, not only in America, but over in England. And he was pastoring a troubled church over in England, and he announced one Sunday morning, he said, "We're going to start an MEF club." MEF. Hello. Is someone wanting to join the MEF club? So he asked how many would like to join, and then he explained what it meant. It meant mutual encouragement fellowship. Mutual encouragement fellowship. And he said, "We're going to encourage one another." And he gave them a formula on a worksheet that he wanted them to learn. It's on your worksheet, I think. I hope. You don't have it? Okay. He said, "Before you say anything, here's what I want you to think. Think to yourself. Is it true? Is what you're going to say, is it true? Number two," or R probably, I don't know, "H, is it helpful? Is it helpful? Not only is it true, would it be helpful? It might be true, but if it's not helpful, why say it? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it kind?" These are the qualifiers that we need to remember. The ninth command says, tell the truth. Don't be dishonest. But it's not a license to blow people away with the truth. You know, in Ephesians it says, speak the truth in love. Big difference. Big difference. Look at the benefits of honesty. Psalm 34, verses 11 and 12. If you love life and desire to see many good days, then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Honesty is the key to a long and enjoyable life. Abraham Lincoln says, no one has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. Mark Twain said, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Now, listen to some of the scriptures in closing. I don't know if we have these or not. Okay. So just listen. I apologize we didn't get those all down. Proverbs 10:9. The man of iniquity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Proverbs 12:13. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes from trouble. Proverbs 20 and verse 7. The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Someone said that we live in a day of truth decay. Almost everyone assumes that you can lie or do almost anything that you want to do. But integrity is what God wants. And it pays off with a clear conscience, peace of mind, an unclouded relationship with God. Have you ever told a lie and had your conscience clouded for a day or two? Do you want to be respected? Develop personal integrity. Of course, it all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Without Him, we can't be honest. Without Him, we can't be uplifting. Without Him, we can't be encouraging. It all starts with a personal relationship with Christ. So it all starts by asking Christ to come into our life, to be our Savior. And then, it is ours as long as we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Lord, today, I suppose everyone who is here would say, Christ is my Savior. So I pray that you would help each one, starting with me, to walk in the light of integrity, the light of honesty, the light of Jesus Christ, that we may have fellowship one with another and with our Father who is in heaven. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.